This next topic is rehabilitation, and this crowd provides a lot of expertise to the rehabilitation process, right? Yeah, we know a lot about it because we live it every day. And in some states, we've been successful in getting separate agencies for the blind, and those agencies come together under the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind that we've had the opportunity to work with in a number of ways. And in other places, within general agencies for the blind, it's been harder, but we've found ways to raise expectations and create understanding about blindness. We talked about in the presidential report the work that we're doing to build training materials for affiliates related to agencies. Those agencies come together in this Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation. Increasingly, we're finding ways to not just advocate with agencies, but to find ways to partner with them, to help them in their pursuit of quality outcomes by being the organization that provides them with that expertise through youth programming or transition age programming or other things. Our organization brings that expertise. We thought it would be appropriate to invite both of the overarching organizations that bring agencies together to a conversation here at this convention, and here to introduce the panel and lead the conversation is our Director of Blindness Initiatives. Part of his background is in the client assistance program, so he knows a lot about vocational rehabilitation. Here to introduce the panel is Anil Lewis.
Good morning. Thank you, President Riccobono. During my report from the Institute on the Blindness Initiatives programs, you saw we were putting a lot of emphasis on partnering with blindness professionals. So one of the best ways to do that is to partner with organizations that help bring together blindness professionals. So I'm very pleased that our panelists today accepted President Riccobono's invitation to be with us at our convention, and I'm optimistic that we will continue to have ongoing discussions throughout these coming years to make sure that we can improve the quality of rehabilitation services to blind and low vision consumers across the country. So I'm going to introduce our first panelist, Dr. Cassandra Williams-Stokes from Arkansas. The thing I love about Cassandra is I met her when I was serving as national representative for Arkansas affiliate. And we all know how, you know, some agencies, they come, they have representation just for the 30 minutes that they're to present. Cassandra was there for the whole convention. Exactly. So she's been a really good, tremendous friend of ours already. And now in her capacity as the president, she is the director of services for the blind in Arkansas, but she's been recently elected as the president of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. So here to introduce herself and for introductory comments, Dr. Cassandra Williams-Stokes.
Thank you, Anil, for that. And thank you, President Riccobono, for the invitation to NCSAB. I'm honored to be here to speak on behalf of NCSAB and the state of Arkansas, all directors of blind agencies today. So I really appreciate the opportunity, the partnership. And this is my probably eighth convention that I've attended. I've been with the State of Arkansas Services for the Blind about 15 years. I've served as director for six of those, and so I'm really honored to be here and just thankful for the opportunity.
Tell us a little about NCSAB.
Yes, thank you. NCSAB, our primary goal is to promote and advocate for individuals who are blind or visually impaired. We do not lobby. I just wanted to go on record to say that.
That's all right. We'll continue to educate Congress. No problem.
Educate and to promote advocacy. I am one that really believes in independence. All my life I've lived with a disability. I'm hearing impaired, so these acoustics are really killing me right now. So just bear with me.
You're doing
and
fine.
So the thing about it, we just want to make sure that independence is absolute a priority for all of our consumers that are reaching and striving for that goal. And our role is to make sure that we are there to support them. And this is not just for Arkansas for sure, but it's nationwide. And so we are available if there is anything that we can do. Right now, my platform is just to make sure that the partnerships are strong, making sure that our legislators are aware of our needs, because there are so many. I know we're going to get into that. And so that's the primary reason for NCSAB, to
Thank
provide
you.
That support.
Thank you very much. Just wanted to introduce our second panelist, and then we're going to engage in a little conversation. Very pleased to have Stephen Woodison with the Council of State Administrators for Vocational Rehabilitation. Just to make it clear, every state, as President Cabono said, does not have a direct agency serving blind people. They are general agencies to serve VR, and then they're responsible for serving black consumers in the whole area of disability. But the thing I love about Stephen is he's been a longtime partner. Back when I used to work on our advocacy and policy side of the shop under John Perret's leadership, serving in the capacity for the education of Congress that Cassandra was begging out of. Steve was right there with us on issues around subminimum wage, Section 511, et cetera. So again, pleased that Stephen, that you were able to accept our invitation. Take a little bit of time to introduce yourself and tell our members a little bit about CSAVR.
All right. Well, thank you, Anil. Well, I'm a newcomer, so this is my first time, and I am absolutely impressed. So thank you, Anil, for the invitation. President Mark, thank you for the coffee this morning and the conversation. It was good to get to know you a little bit more. So I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation. So we're the sister agency to NCSAB. Try not to use a whole lot of initials today, but we'll probably get into that pretty quickly. We have 7 full-time staff that work across the country. We all work remotely. But the bottom line is I work for Cassandra. I work for the other 77 state vocational rehabilitation agency directors. I think a couple have been in the room maybe today or over the last few days. Robert Doyle from Florida. Actually, Robert is our treasurer. Cassandra sits on our executive committee, so we're very well represented by agencies for the blind. And as Anil mentioned, CSAVR is the broad organization that represents all state vocational rehabilitation agencies, all 78 of them. 22 specifically serving folks who are blind, another 22 that are serving other than those who are blind, and then the balance are combined agencies. So it's all job seekers with disabilities seeking VR services in those state agencies. So I am proud to be able to say, Anil, I am a lobbyist. I can lobby. That's a part of our organizational structure. So it was a great opportunity, continues to be a great opportunity to partner with you all. Me personally, I've been in the business for, as we sometimes say back home, since Pluto was a pup. I began as a counselor in Rolla, Missouri. I've got some Missouri folks back there I see, good old folks. Good to see you. I was there for 20 years, and then I went to the great state of Iowa, my second home, where I ended up being state director. Iowa, I actually live in Minnesota now, so Minnesota, I got the middle of the room out there represented, and it's good to be able to reconnect with good friends like Jim Marks. I saw him this morning from Montana. Thank you for all the work that you guys are doing. So that's who I am, and that's where I come from, a little bit about CSAVR.
Thank you for sharing. I love the way you're trying to win the crowd. Good. So in establishing this relationship, let's start first with perspective, and we'll probably try to go pretty quickly because I have some other more intense questions. But can you both share your perception of the National Federation of the Blind and let us know what you feel our role is in the rehabilitation process?
Absolutely. I tell you, my relationship with Arkansas NFB, you know, over the last 15 years. And I'm also, just so you know that I'm neutral, I attend all the Arkansas Council of the Blind meetings as well, and that's why I didn't show up for those other years. I was at the American Council of the Blind Conference. But I'll tell you, my experience with NFB really has been just looking at strong advocacy and education and accountability, I believe. I don't necessarily need NFB Arkansas to keep me accountable, but they do. I can tell you that, and I know they're over there listening. But over the years, NFB really has been a partner for us at the state level, for sure. I know that the national level, NFB executive leadership has shown up for those meetings in Arkansas. And I know that they really believe in advocacy, making sure that every consumer has an opportunity to be independent. And so for me, I think that that really has helped me understand more about what my role is. And I just want to add that one of the great opportunities that I've had in Arkansas is that because we are an independent commission, which means that our agency is managed and operated by a board, that autonomy has been very important. The voice of consumers, blind or visually impaired consumers, actually runs our agency. And everything that we do is on behalf of the individuals that we serve. So I just want to say that I think that NFB has, it represents well, making sure that any challenge that is put before our consumers, that they are addressed. That's what I've seen. I know that the partnership, being able to refer individuals to NFB, whether it's in Arkansas at the national level, those individuals have stepped up to make sure that the issues that are perceived as barriers, they are removed by NFB. So I want to thank you and Arkansas NFB for making sure that we are able to move forward with any challenges that are presented to us.
Well, we definitely wear those hats proudly. How about you, Steve?
You know, honestly, Anil, my first 20-plus years, my association with NFB was somewhat secondhand. It was through representatives on the state rehab councils, state independent living councils, that I became acquainted with the power of NFB. And at that point, frankly, didn't quite fully appreciate it until I met you and John Perret. And we began working together, as you mentioned, on the Hill, and recognize the power of the voice of NFB. And working 30 years in a general agency, then coming to the national level and understanding the power of the voice, I think it's important for me to say, as one that doesn't work daily in the blind community, is that NFB is really a good representative of rising tide floats all boats. And what you do for the blind community is good for all. Yeah. And that's the power of NFB.
We're proud of that.
I really have learned that, Anil, and I appreciate that so much, what you all do. So that's my take.
Thank you. So let's get right to the big elephant in the room. A lot of our members have expressed some concerns, and we know that within the agencies that the pre-employment transition services, as they've been implemented through the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, has really kind of had a rocky start. Maybe some things are smoothing out, but just curious to know what you are encouraging your membership agencies to do to address pre-employment transition services for blind and low-vision youth.
Well, first thing, I know you know that in 2014, we all encountered the WIOA, and I think that that really put us in a position where we had to re-educate ourselves about what was important. And absolutely, the pre-employment transition services program, the funding for that is very important to all of our states. And I know with NCSAB, one of the things that we're looking at is making sure that all of our states understand the importance of reaching out to our technical assistance centers to ensure that they understand how to implement the pre-employment program. Right now, we're looking at states are turning money back because they can't spend it. And that's really just, I don't like that. And I know that in Arkansas, we are able to spend our funding. And I think that part of the issue is there are restrictions where states aren't able to implement with the program. I know several directors around the country, they bring their students here to NFB. And I'll tell you, my first experience or first trip here to NFB years ago, I was a little intimidated. I ran into a group of students who were really outspoken, active, and I'd never seen anything like it, and I was just so impressed. I really was. And so with that, I know the importance of teaching our young people, the importance of advocacy, of advocating for themselves, advocating for what they want in life, and I know that's really important. The other thing that we are really looking at is making sure our states understand about fiscal forecasting. Really what that is just making sure that you have a plan in place to implement the pre-employment program, making sure that you understand how you're going to spend those dollars so that you don't have to turn those back to Rehabilitation Services Administration. And so those are really two of our concerns for NCSAB, and just making sure that we continue to receive those dollars to support our young people.
Thank you. Stephen?
Yeah. Thanks. Cassandra mentioned the Technical Assistance Center, and a couple of specific examples that are broad across agencies serving blind, general agencies, and combined agencies is this: the Technical Assistance Center, the National Technical Assistance Center on Transition, the Collaborative, also known as NTAC-C. They manage a collaborative that we're hoping will continue to grow, a community of practice, if you will. About 35 to 45 agencies participate in that. It's combined and combined agencies, and they are monthly sharing good examples of things that are happening and ways to increase the numbers of students and youth who are blind. I might mention broadly that PREET's numbers are improving. We're engaging more students and youth. We are having more services provided and more outcomes. At the same time, numbers don't tell the whole story. And so this community of practice is one that is a specific example that was shared. Also want to mention that another model that I would encourage us to consider is kind of a regional approach. For the states of Kentucky, Minnesota, Michigan, and Delaware, I understand that they are working across state lines, virtually bringing blind students and youth together to have experiential kinds of events online to build that sense of community, capacity building as well. And then the last thing that I would mention to just kind of mention to respond specifically, Anil, is again, it's broad, but as I was sharing with Mark this morning, a concern that we have across the board is the capacity of our community providers. And that is a concern, and I know that it impacts all across the board. I suspect there's even greater impact in the blind community as well. But really stepping up our efforts to identify those competencies, skills that are needed to be able to deliver those services such as PREET services, and to really develop a training module, if you will, that will speak to that across the nation that is consistent. So those are some examples that I know from our world that we are hearing about and hope that will be replicated.
Excellent. And hopefully we can expand on our partnership, because
At this convention here, we have 11 students from Mississippi, pre-employment transition age students, and I think Nebraska sent 15 students here. So if we can continue to build on that, because this is just not a one-off. When the students get here, they get ongoing support, they develop some peer relationships, et cetera.
Right.
Because one of our biggest problems is many of the agencies are interpreting pre-ets as one-offs, like,
right.
Well, you've had your module on self-advocacy.
Yeah.
And that's just not the way it works. We have to continue to involve ourselves in their lives to
mm-hmm.
continue to have them evolve. So thank you for what you're doing, and hopefully we can build on that. One of the other concerns that our members have expressed is that in the effort of many of the agencies to focus on employment, and we recognize that that's the mandate, but we as the National Federation of the Blind also recognize that actual acquisition and mastery of the alternative skills of blindness are important. So that's Braille, access technology, independent travel, but it also includes activities of daily living, you know, being able to manage a household, cook and clean for yourselves. But many of our members are finding it much more difficult to get support from the agencies for those particular services in order to be the well-rounded individuals they need to be to seek competitive integrated employment. So just curious as to whether you recognize that as a problem and what you've done to kind of brainstorm a strategy.
Well, one thing is I think that we need to make sure that agencies are educated about how to use the VR process. If there is a consumer who actually needs a particular ADL, that needs to be shared with their counselor. And I think that's one thing that we want to make sure that we're getting the message out to all of our membership and all directors, all states. Make sure you understand and know how to use the VR process. ADLs, if that's a part of you meeting an employment goal, that should not be any different than any other type of resource that you would need to get to your goal. So I think it's how you look at it and how you view the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And that's for VR. For OIB, I know that we are really working hard. Part of the problem with the Older Individuals Who Are Blind program, for that matter, is that we don't have enough funding. And I know over the years, in 2023, I see my peer out there, Carlos Savant from Nebraska, there he is, our immediate past president. He actually supported and wrote a letter to our Senate and House and Senate Appropriations Subcommittee for additional funding for the OIB program and VR. And just this year, I did the same. And so we're really looking at how can we increase the funding for these programs that are serving our consumers. Right now, the current funding level for the Older Individuals Who Are Blind program is $33 million. Now, that sounds like a lot. But a lot of the states that are in position to receive these funds are receiving less than $300,000, and Arkansas is one of those. So it's been a challenge, but we do everything we can to make sure that our membership understands. At our spring and fall conferences, we try to have workshops that are appropriate, one, and relevant to what's going on, relevant to the issues that are facing our membership and within the states, making sure that the process of how to use and utilize the VR and Older Blind Supported Employment Grant Awards. I think that's key, and I know it's key because a lot of the issues that are coming forward, I've learned how to utilize the resources by using the technical assistance centers, and we don't turn money back. We spend all of our money for pre-employment transition services and for VR, and so that's because I've learned, and the staff that work with me, alongside me, we've learned how to use the process and making sure that we're maximizing every dollar that we can for our consumers. So I think that we can continue the conversation to make sure that we understand how important that the resources that need to be available to our consumers are there. And so I think that's one message that we're trying to get out.
Great.
Thank you.
Stephen?
Before I speak to that, I want to just acknowledge I didn't see Carlos over there earlier. He's another one of my bosses, Carlos. Thank you very much. I hate to walk out of here, there'd be an important vote somewhere along the way, and you didn't vote it against me because I didn't call your name out. So, Carlos. And then you mentioned Mississippi, Dorothy Young. I know that her coming into her role within CSAB is important as well. So the particular question I think at hand, Cassandra probably has a much deeper appreciation for the community and the challenges that's there. So maybe I will take a little different view or angle on it and speak to the issue of CIE and the fact that
it's just to be clear, CIE is competitive
integrated employment. Thank you, Anil. That a lot of this rests, I think, in our proper movement to the vocational rehabilitation program, being responsible for services that lead to competitive integrated employment outcomes. And the movement across the country that you see more and more community providers moving in that direction, it's one of those things that, Anil, to some degree, I think it may be that, hard to believe, legislation may have moved so fast to where other services that needed to fill that void have not completely matured. That's a bit of my view of the world. So to get to the question, the need for ADLs often with the VR world is that there could be the view that individual is not ready for competitive integrated employment. So going back to Cassandra's point, that appreciation and understanding at the state agency level, and maybe that our agencies for the blind can help educate our other agencies more, that understanding that there is a need for that service, and if it can be clearly articulated that those are the services that are needed in order to lead towards competitive integrated employment, then that is a strategy to help build, I think, that capacity even greater.
Nice. And we'll start doing a better job of making sure we encourage and empower our members to do exactly that. So thank you for that advice. Just got updates. We have some pre-ed students from Washington and from Texas.
Wow.
So good.
Woo!
Very nice. Cassandra, you've already addressed the older blind question I was going to ask. Just wanted to see if Stephen had anything to add around older blind.
You want me to go first? On yeah. older blind?
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
you have something
to
addition? Yeah.
Okay. The one thing I'm just going to say, I wanted to just talk about partnerships. And that's one of the reasons why I know I'm here today to represent NCSAB, because we are really looking to increase our partnerships. One, because it makes sense. There are so many states that are challenged with lack of funding or lack of resources. So it makes sense to partner with organizations who are doing the same things or have a similar goal. We don't always have to agree on what's going on, but it makes sense for us to partner so that our dollars will go further to serve consumers. And so that's really important. And the other thing is I wanted to mention that the older individuals who are blind program, the funds that are channeled into the states, sometimes that's the only source of funding for states for independent living. And so that's huge. I know in Arkansas, we are a retirement state. I'm sure Florida is, where people are moving to retire. And we have an overwhelming amount of individuals who are 55 and older who are experiencing vision loss or some type of blindness issues. And so it's important for us to look at our partnership opportunities to make sure that if we can't provide because of lack of funding, that we can make a referral to a partner who's at the table and who does have those resources. So that's one thing I wanted to make sure that I brought out.
Thank you.
Today.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And again, you have the inside track on the OIB. Generally speaking, though, to funding in general, it's a tough market right now, very tough market. So that partnership that Cassandra is speaking to is so critical in our lobbying or educating, depending upon your point of view, with members of Congress. I do want to give NFB a shout out when it comes to partnering. I recently had a conversation with the Ability One central provider, Source America, and I appreciate how NFB and Source America have worked together in advocating for legislation. And quite honestly, that's, I think, I'm not going to speak for you all, but I think that's a newer relationship and partnership that is having great impact and seeing two major voices coming together, and CSAVR is pleased to be part of that too.
Okay, thank you. And we, the Federation, stand ready to help advocate for more money for older blind services, so that's another way that we can enhance our partnership moving forward. I want to take the last few minutes that we have to talk about, you know, future. The Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act is going to be up for reauthorization soon. I don't know whether you guys have heard anything on the Hill as to when, but we should start strategizing now on how we can all work together to make sure we can address the problems that exist and then put some pieces in place that are more forward-thinking to innovate the Innovation Opportunity Act. So what do you guys have to offer around that?
I'll say that NCSAB, you know, we actually have on staff. By the way, one thing I forgot to mention, Anil, is that NCSAB does not have a paid executive director. Mm. So all of our services are my position, executive committee, including Director Servine over there. we are all volunteer. And so... yes, I know.
Yeah, we recognize the power of volunteering here in the Federation, yes.
And so that really, to me, it speaks to the volume of just the challenges, the willingness of these individuals over the years who have stepped up. We're working towards getting a full-time executive director, so hopefully in the near future we will be able to do that. But I will say, as far as the reauthorization of WIOA, the legislative analyst for NCSAB, late June, there was a bipartisan draft bill of the reauthorization that was released. And so that's one thing. And I think the concerns there for NCSAB really would be kind of maybe reopening the issues of integrated employment, competitive integrated employment, just rehashing all of that, looking at hopefully not necessarily changing, but making sure that we continue the standards that we have. And sub-minimum wage, those are some concerns. You know, if the WIOA reauthorization is reopened, just looking at how that would impact our consumers as well. The other thing, NCSAB, we really looked at pre-employment. It's high on our list because our young people are the future. They're the present as well. You know, we need to be training them now if they're going to be in position to be leading NFB one day, possibly. Okay. And so
we're always looking for new leaders.
We need to be looking at those things, making sure that we're able to provide the restrictions that some states are under because of WIOA. We need to look at, you know, that's a concern for us, one. Okay. And I didn't mention Randolph Shepherd. That's a huge one, and I know that that's one of the issues that I'm working on this year with our executive committee to look at how can we educate our states, our elected committees, just state licensing agencies about Randolph-Shepard and get more funding if we can. And just to throw this out there, I know that we just submitted, and I got an email today, that we partnered with George Washington University, and just to see if there was an opportunity for us to for the DIF grant, yes, sir. And so we're hoping that that will provide more support and training for the Randolph Shepherd program.
Excellent. All key points that we're interested in working with you on. Stephen, bring it home.
We're CSAVR is really pleased to be able to support NCSAB on the Randolph Shepherd advocacy effort. We have a director of legislative affairs, Tanya Ferguson, working very closely with Katrina McDonald, that is helping with advocacy in that arena as well. So we don't have that expertise, so we provide some financial resources to be able to expand that capacity with those that do have that expertise. Specific to WIOA, of course, as mentioned, you know, two bills on the floor right now, House and the Senate, they do not address specifically the Rehabilitation Act, Title IV of WIOA, but there are provisions in the bill, House and Senate bills, that could impact the VR program, the other titles of WIOA. Specific to, I think, our mutual world is that there is not a requirement for the state vocational rehabilitation agency director, blind agency director, general agency director, or combined agency director, to sit on the state workforce board. We think that's wrong. We think that in order for us to be well represented, not some designee or somebody on behalf of the state director, but that the state director must be appointed to that state workforce board. Yeah. That's how we get full representation.
And I know that we have a history of working well together on the Hill, and we're looking forward to doing that moving forward. Someone was asking if there's going to be a Q&A opportunity. Unfortunately not, but what I encourage people to do who have questions is to reach out to me or John Perret, because we will be continuing this dialogue with both of these stellar individuals. And again, thank you guys for attending
the convention.
Thank you for presenting.